Give me a minute to get organized here. Thank you for your patience. Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Here we are at Palm Sunday on our journey to Easter. This week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday is often called Holy Week by the Church. Holy Week spans the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem that we celebrate this day, as well as the anguish and cruel death of our Lord and Savior on Good Friday, followed by the incredible gift of his resurrection from the dead on Easter morning. And it includes everything else that happened to Jesus this eventful week. Knowing what was before him, have you ever thought that Holy Week must have seemed to Jesus like the longest period of his entire life? What an incredible range of drama and emotions surround these 7 short days. Especially when you look at the events of Palm Sunday to Good Friday, it's almost like one of those good news, bad news jokes. The good news is that Jesus reached the peak of his popularity on what was to become known as Palm Sunday, riding in a triumphal procession into the holy city of Jerusalem. There was a big parade with lots of fanfare, cheering, and people waving palms as a symbol of praise and adoration. Everybody turned out. The streets were filled. The disciples were very impressed. And the Pharisees and Sadducees realized they had underestimated this simple Galilean teacher. Riding a wave of public approval, Jesus went to the temple, the very center of the Jewish faith, and began to teach and preach. From Sunday to Thursday, Jesus was unstoppable. His enemies tried to trick him several times, but with no success. Each time he escaped their traps and turned their hypocrisy and treachery into a teaching moment. Jesus was so popular with the people that no one tried to stop him, even when he overturned the tables of the money changers and let the sacrificial birds loose in the temple courts. This is the same week that Jesus summed up the teachings of the law and the prophets with a simple but profound new commandment, the one that says, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And this is the week that Jesus gave us a new depth of meaning to his own life and death, when he reinstated the ancient Jewish celebration, reinterpreted the ancient Jewish celebration of the Passover meal. Thus, he gave birth to a new ceremony with bread and wine, which for us would become our ordinance of Holy Communion. So, what's the bad news? On Thursday, he was betrayed, arrested, and tortured. And on Friday, he was nailed to a cross and killed. Today the palms, tomorrow the passion, the good news and the bad news, but I'm afraid no joke at all. The grim truth is that the same people who shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday shouted crucify him just 5 days later. Everybody's hero became a bloody sacrifice, an object of scorn and hatred. What life-giving truths can we learn from all this? I think the temptation for all of us is to focus on the experience of the people that surrounded Jesus this week. From looking at what they say and do, we tend to come up with a message that goes something like this. Don't be like those people who cheered one day and jeered the next. Be Jesus' loyal follower every day, every moment of your life. That very message seems to lie beneath our prayers and our hopes for this week. But perhaps there is something else that we may learn from putting ourselves in Jesus' place rather than in the shoes of those around him. What was Jesus' experience in the midst of all of this up and down, this emotional roller coaster ride that has become known as Holy Week? What message can we take away from this swirling whirlpool of events that progresses from Palm Sunday to Good Friday? Maybe it is easiest to get to this by asking this question. What if Jesus had remained in Galilee, surrounded by the adoring throngs that he preached to and healed? What if Jesus had not chosen the road to Jerusalem and the way of the cross? What if Jesus had stayed, lived, and died in Galilee, and retired an old and revered rabbi full of wisdom and compassion? Hopefully, this question reminds us of something we find so easy to forget. It reminds us that Jesus chose his path. He chose to leave the relative safety of Galilee and his rural ministry. He chose to confront the politics of powers and religion in the very center of those powers, in Jerusalem. The reminder is that all the uphill, downhill, good news, bad news, palms one day, passion the next, had really nothing to do about what Jesus was all about. Jesus saw the purpose of his life in terms of proclaiming for us a new relationship with God, a relationship of intimate personal love, forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life. And no dramatic outpouring of human expressions of joyful acceptance or hate-filled rejection could change in any way his central message. He came to Jerusalem neither excited nor deceived by the applause of the crowds. Nor was Jesus motivated or discouraged from completing his mission by the treachery, the desertion of his disciples, and the seemingly complete reversal of fortune he would endure. A careful reading of our Gospels on the accounts of Holy Week make one thing very clear. Jesus knew what would happen to him. He had set his path towards his fate that awaited him in Jerusalem, and he did not look back. Jesus knew that one of his closest disciples and friends, Peter, would claim not to even know him when put to the test. In both the popular acclaim and in the complete denial and rejection of his ministry during Holy Week, Jesus made it plain to everyone that he was not ruled by the feelings or emotions of the minute, but rather Jesus was walking step by step along a path of faith and the trust that would lead him to the only source of true and lasting meaning for him and ultimately for us. Jesus was moving towards God's fulfillment of God's will for him and through him for the salvation of the world. It didn't matter if the path seemed to reach a peak on Palm Sunday, from which there was nowhere else to go but down. Jesus knew that his goal was to not dwell on the mountaintop of popularity or power or applause. Equally, it did not matter that the path seemed to lead to an end in the valley of the shadow of death. It is true that Jesus would have willed for himself some other path if that path could still be true to the will of God. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And it was when it was apparent to him that it could not be otherwise, Jesus accepted his Father God's will for him as being perfect. Regardless of the suffering that he knew he'd undergo, Jesus chose to be true to his mission. He chose to be obedient unto death. He walked towards the way of suffering in faith, knowing, hoping, and praying that somehow God ultimately loved him to a depth of love that none of us can truly understand. Jesus totally trusted in his Father God. In the face of impossible circumstances, the horror of the cross, the only thing that was visible before him, Jesus had faith that somehow, some way, he would ultimately be uplifted, surrounded, and encompassed by the presence, the mercy, and the love of God. That is the lesson of the roller coaster ride of Holy Week. It is a lesson for each of us to remember and to live out. If we depend upon the events of life to give us reward and satisfaction, then we will never be satisfied. And we will never discover God's true mission and purpose for our lives. Perhaps your life right now is where you are, surrounded by enjoyment, possessions, and popularity. You may be at a peak in your life with money, health, security, and friends. But realize that in the reality of our existence, no one can constantly sustain a life of always being on the mountaintop. We all will experience hardship, suffering, and pain. It is part of our human condition. On the other hand, you may be living out a time in your life when you find yourself wandering in the wilderness. This may be a period in your faith journey where you feel that you have been led into loneliness, misunderstanding, and poverty, if not physical poverty, emotional or spiritual poverty. The good times and the bad times, what we have or don't have, none of these things will finally give life its true meaning. Like Jesus, what we are experiencing at the moment does not define who we are as sons and daughters of God. We might be experiencing our own roller coaster ride of ups and downs through life, but like Jesus, no matter what life brings, we have the opportunity to walk our own unique path of faith and obedience to God. Uphill or down, It is the destination that counts. And no one's life can be better spent than in seeking and finding and doing the will of God. Because after all, the journey from Palm Sunday to Good Friday wasn't just a good news, bad news story. There was the final good news that redeemed it all. It is the good news that reminds us that God can take any situation, no matter how bad it seems, and somehow transform it by the touch of the Creator God. Practically everyone has known the taste of Palm Sunday, the sweetness of success and popularity, and nearly all of us have tasted the bitterness of Good Friday, of failure and rejection. What saves us from an endless round of ups and downs, what frees us from the tyranny of events over which we have no control, is our faith in a God that never lets us go if we put our trust in Jesus. God will never let us go. What counts is our commitment of faith, hope, and trust in our Lord and Savior that allows us to press forward in obedience when the going gets tough. What saves us from the roller coaster of life is our trust in God's love that brings the glory and redemption of Easter morning, either in this life or the next. Our scripture reading from this morning tells us about two thieves that were crucified on each side of Jesus. One of them, with an unrepentant heart, verbally attacks Jesus. The other thief recognized that Jesus was who he really was and asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came home into God's loving arms in heaven. If you think about it, for the second thief, what he said was both a confession of faith in Jesus and a plea for salvation. Jesus' reply, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Surely this scripture tells us that it is never too late to turn to Jesus in trust and faith. How about you? Is your trust in the things of this world, things that will ultimately let you down? Have you fully placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Or do you need to renew your commitment to turn your life fully over to Jesus Christ? The second thief showed us the way. Confess your sins, ask for God's forgiveness, and place your whole trust in Jesus Christ. For there is nothing that God prizes more than our faith in His Son, who lived for us, died for us, and rose from the dead for us, that we might have life now and forevermore. I hope each one of you got one of these. I think there's some in the narthex. If you didn't, you can get some on the way out. I'm sorry, that's a U.S. term, foyer. There's some in the foyer if you didn't. This simple little palm leaf that's been dried and folded into a cross. The palm as a symbol of praise, turned into a cross, the symbol of Jesus' suffering and death. Praise and suffering. We will all experience these emotions. But through them all, through our belief in the risen Jesus Christ, God will never, ever let us go. I urge you to keep this simple palm cross this week as a reminder that God will honor and bless your faithful obedience, no matter if you're in the highs or lows of life. For truly, the meaning of life is only to be found in the love of God. And we see the love of God at work in our lives, and most profoundly, by placing our faith, hope, and trust in the risen Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is always good news. Amen.